Blog Talk Radio.
You are now logged in to GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, to the Breadman One-Time Show. I want to thank all my callers that I have so far from getting in here. We're going to make this thing happen this morning. I want to welcome everybody to a great new week, Monday morning, July the 29th, 11 o'clock, starting on time. I appreciate everybody. Today we're going to have on a lot of different callers. I got my man, Jimmy Marino, in here with me this morning. I'm going to also have on Nelson Competition Engines. He'll be in here later just to let you know a couple of different people. But we're going to have on almost everybody that was at the race Saturday that would like to get on. The number here is, if you don't have the number and you own the computer listening, the number to call in is 646-200-4419. That will get you on live, the Breadman One-Time Show. With that being said, let me introduce Mr. Jimmy Marino. Good morning, Mr. Marino. How are you, sir?
Good morning, good morning. I'm pretty good. Had a busy weekend.
Man, that's all right. That's all right. Did you, I guess you didn't get to see any racing then, did you?
No, I didn't make it up to Georgia. Stayed in the shop working on some cars, trying to get some stuff ready. It's hard to go to the racetrack and for me and not race something. So I'm a bad spectator. So if I got a car there, I'm good. But for me to go watch, I'm out of my element. So I stayed in the shop and got some work done and getting ready to get back out there.
All righty.
Now, I heard there was some good racing going on, especially that Baldy race, Baldy and Stone Cold. So we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. With that being said, we're going to hit a commercial. When we come back, I'm going to do the show. I have an inspirational reading that I'm going to always do to start the show off, something inspirational. And then we're going to go from that. We're going to get the show rocking and rolling. Y'all hold 1 minute for a commercial break.
Grudge Inc. is taking over social networking. To get live, in-depth coverage on current races, follow us on Twitter at Grudge Inc. To view the most up-to-date and exclusive footage, subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/GrudgeInc.tv. To get an overview of it all, friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/GrudgeInc. And last but not least, we have a weekly newsletter that we will send out directly to your email every Monday. Sign up for this newsletter at www.grudgeinc.us. Once again, watch videos at youtube.com/grudgingtv. Follow us on Twitter at Grudge Inc. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/grudgeinc. Grudge Inc. wants to be your number one stop for all grudge racing news and entertainment.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to that commercial. We're back off commercial break. That, you know, we got to pay these bills. We got to pay these bills. With that being said, we're going to go into the inspirational reading for this morning. Goes a little like this. Every struggle in your life has shaped you into the person that God made you to be. Be thankful for hard times. They can make you strong. Thank God for your blessing. Thank God for all things. You deserve to be the person that's living at this time. So thank God for that. With that being said, we're going to move right along. Normally I do get on and pray, and I'm going to start on this show, have inspirational moments. It's Monday morning. I feel like all of us have done what we did over the weekend, and, you know, me personally, I go to on Sunday. I can't speak for everybody, but that's what I do, and I've done what I needed to do. And if anyone would like prayer in the morning like this, you can always call in and ask for it, and we always give it. But I'm going to have inspirational readings. Therefore, with that being said, we're going to move right along with the show. Let me get a Jim, you got anything you want to say?
Now I'll let the subjects get going. You know, there's a couple topics that I'd like to bring up and get some opinions on. And if you'd like me to start with that now, I can.
Go ahead, Jim.
One of the things that I've noticed in recent time is the amount of class races moving over to the grudge scene. And I noticed it because that's kind of where I came from. I made the move a couple of years ago to do a lot more grudge racing and really enjoyed it. So I started making that move and coming over, and I'm starting to notice a lot more class racers, and some of them pretty significant class racers moving over to the grudge scene. And it's creating some rivalries, I think good rivalries. And it's given more racing to the game. You know, the same old people racing, the same old people, you can only do that for so much, and you got to keep bringing in new people to keep the excitement, and I think that's what we're doing. We saw that with Troy Perez and Big Country and Little Country and those guys coming in this weekend. We've seen Mike Stavrinos jump in and do some grudge racing and heard that, you know, I've heard that he stated he wants to, he's pretty much done with class racing. He wants to make the move to grudge racing. That's what he's enjoying doing, and that's where he's going to spend his money. So I also read something on the internet last night. One of those guys, one of the small tire guys that raced this weekend said the same thing, is they may be done class racing. They're going to start moving over towards the shootouts. They enjoyed that a lot more than going to the class races. I think there's something to be said for that. So if there's any opinions on that, and, you know, is it good for the game, bad for the game? I don't see how it could be bad, but, you know, some people may have a different opinion.
Well, y'all, the people that are listening, if y'all would press 1, we can chat about this situation of the topic at hand here and see how y'all feel about it. And then we'll talk about that. And as we move along, we're going to also talk about the current events that happened this weekend at the tracks. I guess we're going to flow off that. Do y'all feel that more class racers are going to grudge racing? And how do the grudge racers feel about that? I mean, because it's bringing a lot of action to the game from what I see. You know, and I mean, who knows? there's going to be a whole lot more shootouts, you know, that we can see from what's going on here. But, Jim, I'm right with you. I feel like there's a lot of good grudge racing going on right now. I know Saturday, man, I had a blast in Valdosta. I really did. Ronnie Brown put on an excellent show. I hate that all that stuff that came about. I'm glad it's over with. I'm glad that people were smiling again. That's the part of racing I like. I know that we're going to have some bad times, but the good times outweigh the bad all the time. And I just want to, you know, I want to give Miss Kim and Ronnie Brown a clap, definitely a clap, and say that let me applaud them right quick. Hold on 1 second. Let me give them an applause from the program they put on. Yes. You guys put on a great show. I just can't believe it. The 28-29 shootout was awesome. They got there, them guys, and they got in lanes, and they did what they had to do. I want to give a shout out to my partner and Boney Performance. He got out there and really a small time neighborhood. Got on the big screen. He been working so much, and he got out there and just showed what he was about. He really made me proud to get on the picture on the big screen like he did. And you know, I'm gonna continue to support him and his camp and definitely, you know what I mean, I'm definitely a part of it. ABP Performance, y'all look him up. With that being said, Jimmy, what else you got for?
Moving into the more of the big tire stuff, you know, we're seeing some action come back, and I love to see it because it's the racing that I came from. We're seeing some top sportsman action really come back. We saw Stone Cold and Baldy go at it this weekend. That was, from what I understand, a great race. I think that probably some people thought Stone Cold was a little sweet on that one, but turned out to not end up that way. So I think they're starting to show their hand a little bit of what they really have. And I understand that was a pretty close race. It was probably won or lost at the start line, and that's always a good race. So when that can be done and both cars make the trip and the guy who leaves first wins the race, you know, that's a good race. You can't take nothing away from that. So that I'd like to get into as well. You know, get into this big tire racing stuff and where the top sportsmen back half and, you know, pro mod stuff is heading. Is, you know, we're seeing so much 28 and 29 racing, and that's really exciting stuff. And there's an evolution there. You know, it was 33 10-5W, and you're moving down to 29s. Now 28s is the big thing. What's the next big thing for them? But, you know, this big tire stuff, we need to see it come back a little bit, and we're starting to.
I want to say that, you know, you're right by that. I can't wait till it get back to where it was. We also had the 5-speed in the house, and he made down a pass that, ooh-wee, man, I tell you, I thought that pass that he made, that he laid down there, I thought they was going to go get that Allen Iverson car at the trailer. That's what I thought was going to happen. I was hoping that we can see both of those big tire cars go down through there. But, you know what I mean? It didn't happen. I was just glad to see, you know, the pass that I saw. And you know, I want to add to that that race that Nephew, Stone Cold, and Bally and Smoke, they put on a great show. I mean, you can't ask for nothing better than that. Them two guys got out there. It was ongoing back and forth smack talk between the both of them. And I want to add that they're both, Bally and Smoke is family, and Nephew and Stone Cold our family as well, and they got on me because I was playing the middle. But, you know, how can you, if you got two brothers, if it's three brothers fighting, somebody, you know what I mean, got to stand back and say, hey, mama, that's them. You know, I was raised in a house with three brothers. We fought all the time, and we didn't jump on each other's side. We both of them handled their business and got with it, and that's what Nephew Stone Cold and Smoke them did. They handled their business. At the end of the day, we all went back there and laughed and ate off the grill. And my thing was, I was glad both cars went down through there safely. That was my take on it. man, nephew, did a hell of a job. And I'm going to have you on here when we open up the mics. I definitely got to get nephew, the people's champ, out of Atlanta, Georgia, big time, man. Let me give you some cheers. That's for you, Stone Cold and nephew, on the great race that you put on. Listen, we're gonna go to our open up a mic here. I got another individual I want to bring on the show. Let me get him in here. Welcome, sir. You're live on the Breadman Show. Everybody, we got Mr. Chris Nelson, performance himself. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Breadman
Show. Hey. Good, good. How are you guys doing today? This is Chris Nelson with Nelson Competition. Well, you got
welcome.
Other topics and topics today. I hear we missed a good one in Valdosta this weekend.
Yes, we did,
yeah.
Sir.
Who we got on the line with us also, Jimmy Marino?
Yeah, Chris, it looks like we may be the only ones that were sitting in the shop working all weekend. Everyone else was out enjoying themselves at the racetrack.
Well, we got to keep our customers out there racing. Sometimes that means at the expense of being able to join along ourselves.
That's true.
We were on the dyno this weekend, get one of our Pro Nitrous competitors engine ready for Memphis coming up this coming weekend. So they can go out there and debut a new car.
Nice, nice. I'm feeling I know which car that is. That'll be a great debut. I'd like to see that car back out there. And
people don't know about it now. They'll know about it after the race, that's for sure.
Yes.
Well, we had a call, Chris. What they want to ask or find out about was basically when is a good time to freshen your engine? And if you didn't mind, you know what I mean, like you'd expound on that a little bit, basically your thoughts on when do you think is a good time to freshen up an engine? Is it after the season or after so many passes? I don't know. I'm going to sit back and let you have the floor.
Well, that's a complex question because depending upon what type of engine you have, whether it be, and I say this meaning small block, big block, big cubic inch stuff, does it have aluminum rods or steel rods? You know, what type of rings does the engine have in it is more of a factor for what, you know, that affects that question in me coming up with an answer. But let's just talk about this. Let's say an engine like, let's take Jimmy Marino, for an instance. He's a customer of mine. He runs a top sportsman car with a 700-inch nitrous motor. Aluminum rods, that's an engine that I tell a customer that they should put, you know, 75 or so runs on that engine. And with that stroke length and that amount of bob weight and things like that, that'll keep you out of trouble with the rods, not breaking from just fatigue. Now, people say all the time, you know, oh, I just run the eighth mile. Oh, I was just testing. Well, more so than how long you run those, whether it be eighth mile or quarter mile, it's more of a factor of heat cycling the rods, which, you know, cause the material to weaken and then eventually break. So one of our main factors in the engine like that is the rods. Secondly would be the rings. You know, the rings will start to lose their tension over time, and you'll see your leak down numbers start to increase. And at that point, that's when you're starting to run the risk of hurting parts or, you know, running the risk of breaking your engine and blowing it apart rather than taking the time when your schedule permits and just tearing it down and taking it apart. And in some instances, and Jimmy, you know, ran into this himself, and I bring him up because he's on the line with us and we work hand in hand on this stuff. Try to stretch one out a couple years ago and go, you know, over 100 runs on it because there was another race coming up and a little bit of testing before that race. And it ended up failing and costing him an entire short block. So his $5,000 repair or freshen up bill became a $30,000 freshen up or repair bill because it took out the whole short block, and then we decided to update it to some you know, improve stuff at that same time. So that's one of those situations where you can listen to whoever your engine builder is that's advising you on that, and don't take it as he's trying to get into your pocket prematurely, but take it as he's trying to give you good advice to, so it represents him well. You know, it doesn't do good for a guy like myself or whoever that, you know, there's lots of quality engine builders out there, for them to be misrepresented because you didn't heed their advice and try to, you know, stretch it out too long between fresh enough, you know. Now, that being said, a small block or a smaller cubic inch engine that has, you know, less stroke in it, which is not as hard on the connecting rods, you know, like a 632 will take those 100 runs. You know, a small block will run 150 runs just because it's not as hard on the connecting rods. Now, manufacturers will tell you, you know, oh, you can go 200 runs and all this and that. But it happened to me last year, a guy with a 5-inch 738. He said, how many runs can I put on it? And I said, 70. He goes, well, I already got 75. I'm just going to go one more race. He, by the time he was leaving that race and testing and everything else, he had 86 runs and one was in the bottom of the pan. So it's one of those things that when we run 2, 3, 4 stages of nitrous on these engines and we stress them hard and run them hard, it's better to do some preventative maintenance and replace parts rather than just break parts and, you know, tear stuff up and just cost you more money in the long run. And, it may be on a race like, let's say this weekend, there's some, you know, side action on the line and you hurt your motor and you lost your race. So really it'll save you money in the long run to just do preventative maintenance rather than try to get just one more run, you know. And there's no indicator on stuff like that. You know, it's not like the rings where they'll start to leak down and, you'll see some signs of fatigue. You know, aluminum rod, you know, they're perfect until they're broken. So that's one of those things that you can do some preventive maintenance and save yourself some money for sure.
Agreed. Well, agreed. Been there, done that.
Yeah. And paid
that,
for
that,
it.
With that being said, you know, everyone's got a little different maintenance routine on their stuff, and we probably, Chris has taught me, probably I maintain myself and check my stuff between runs more than just about any of the people on the Grudge Race scene, and probably equal to what a lot of, you know, the ADRL and guys like that are doing, and it saved me a lot of money, I believe, over the years. You know, I've found stuff long before it became a problem. We're able to fix it early and, you know, spend $30 on a part or just a valve adjustment, keeping push rods from getting eaten up and all that kind of stuff by checking it out all the time. Now, a lot of these cars aren't as easy to work on as a top sportsman car. To be able to pull apart between every run and check out, pull the valve covers off. But, man, it definitely in the long run saves you money. It's something you got to look at. You got to be looking at your engine maintenance.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I like to expand on that a little bit of what Jimmy's talking about. What we have him do, and we stress that you can't over-maintenance your engine, is, you know, consistently check valve lash, consistently leak down the motor and look for any changes. You know, the raw number isn't as big of an issue as a change in it. You know, if, say Jimmy's got 50 runs on his motor and his motor's leaking down, you know, consistently in the high teens, and then suddenly he makes a run, he's got one that jumps to 40%. We'll slide the heads off and take that rod and piston out of the engine on the scene, and a lot of times we'll catch a pinched ring or a lifted ring lamp that's so slight, and replace it, and he's right back to where he's 100%. Because the problem that happens is that one that just picked up 25% leaked down in one run, it's showing you that it's early warning signs of, hey, I'm in trouble here. And Jimmy can make a change in the tune-up. We can replace the piston and or ring if need be and fix it and not ever blow the engine up per se, to where you get into a scenario where if you actually burn one up and burn a hole in a piston, you're generally talking about putting a sleeve in it and all kinds of things like that. That just gets to be real costly. You know, Jimmy will go through and, you know, he may go through and change 4 or 5 pistons in between freshen ups and things like that. But when he comes back, he's not doing any repair work on top of a normal freshen up because he's kept it up and maintained it. But from the time you get to where you actually three or four runs later from when it showed its early signs of a problem to when it actually burns, torches through the skirt and burns up a, you know, a sleeve and the top of the rod and everything else, that could have been prevented, which would turn, you know, like he said, $100 part exchange into, you know, a multi-$1,000 repair bill. So that's definitely through, you know, looking at the, pulling the plugs out, looking at them, doing a leak down test, adjusting valve lash, you can prevent a lot of issues that, you know, normally would result in a, you know, a major failure.
Yeah, going into that engine maintenance, I can give you an example on a customer's car. Kind of goes a little off subject, but it really comes back to engine maintenance. We had a customer's car, and a lot of people do this. They change the bottle fittings between runs. They don't have permanent filtered bottle fittings on every bottle, and a lot of people don't. And I always keep those. For every bottle I have a permanent fitting on it with a filter in it or screen. But some people do that. Now, when you do that, and some of these fittings don't have screens in them, that nylon washer between the bottle and that fitting will eventually, if you take it on and off too many times, will eventually start to tear up. Well, we've found and saved more than once on a customer's motor where nylon got through that, got through the solenoid and into the jets. And we caught it on a spark plug, pulling plugs between every run, all eight plugs, caught where we had some trash in a jet. And we had it ongoing. It happened every 2-3 runs for a while. One time it got so bad where it actually, when we were purging the motor, it clogged the purge solenoid, and we could just see that the purge solenoid wasn't flowing the amount of nitrous that it always did. It just looked a little funny, so we pulled that apart. Stuff like that, it doesn't have to be a failure within your engine. It can come from somewhere else, but by checking plugs, doing the leak downs, you catch things like that that are random things that just, you know, can come out of nowhere, can happen at any time. That even being said, I've heard of, and haven't seen it personally, but I've heard of the liner on the inside of the valves, inside of the bottles breaking down and actually the stuff coming out into nitrous lines. I don't know if you've seen that, Chris.
I have not run into that, but, I mean, those points that you bring up are very, very key. And, you know, a lot of guys will hire myself or one of my employees or somebody to go along and assist with some of this maintenance and stuff like that. And that little bit of money that they spend, or, you know, somebody that they, you know, a shop like, say, or a racer like Jimmy Marino can provide some racetrack support and do some of these maintenance practices, you know, will just go such a long way in saving money. You know, it's just, you can spend pennies, a few thousands of dollars and really go a long way. Like he's talking about clogging up a jet, I mean, you can chase your tail. Or, Jimmy, how many times have you seen a plunger and a nitrous solenoid go bad? You know, to where when we have the engine apart, we'll generally put plungers in it because we put them on the same maintenance cycle as, say, connecting rods. You know, but there will be other guys that will take the manifold off, set it on the shelf, and not even send it with the engine and neglect it. And now you got 300 or 400 runs. You're wondering why the car is running rich and it's starting to slow down. It doesn't really hit like it used to. You know, you have a set of $25 plungers that are bad, and they've been holding you back. So mm-hmm. A little bit of maintenance, a little bit of money spent just goes a long way. You know, and that's why, like, when we go to the ADRL races, like Jimmy had mentioned, and you see these guys with their engines apart every night, not because they don't know what they're doing and they're tearing them up. They're doing preventative maintenance so they don't have failure issues. And that's really what we're trying to get away from is major catastrophic engine failure. You know, maintenance, repair, rebuild, update, that's not really expensive. But when you get into repair and things like that, replacing sleeves, welding heads, that's where, you know, the money really starts adding up. And, you know, downtime away from being able to race really starts adding up as well.
Yep. That's where I get to about 50 runs. I'm calling Chris and saying, all right, I'm, you know,
when in the next month can he squeeze me in? You know,
he really wants me to tell him that. Oh, just run it, Jimmy. It's okay. That's what he's wanting.
Yeah.
To
well,
the voice of reason says, "Hey, you got 10, 15 more runs, and you got to get that thing out of there." And then we, you know, try to schedule some time. He'll send me a deposit. We'll order the parts and get them in ahead of time, so we can try to turn it around as quick as we can. Because that's been a problem for me in the past. We go to a race. Nobody did any maintenance. Everybody wants to do it all at one time, and I'll get, you know, 10 engines in 1 week, and we have the ability to turn two of them back out in a week or three maybe on a good week, and then we're just weeks and weeks behind. So we start to get with guys like, you know, what he's talking about and try to schedule it, order the parts, get them sitting there before the engine even comes back so we can shorten the duration of turnaround time, because nothing's worse for us is to tear an engine down, find that needs some custom part that we don't have, doesn't exist anywhere on anybody's shelf, and we got to order one from scratch and take 6 to 8 weeks, and then everybody just sitting on their hands. I can't, you know, get the job finished and make money. The customer can't go out and raise, and it just turns into being a bad deal, a lot of downtime. So we try to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do wonder if, what is considered a pass? I mean, I see a lot of guys burn out, shut their car off, and, you know, they log it as a pass. I mean, how do you feel about that, Chris?
Well, myself, being in, you know, coming from the background that I'm in, I've got to advise people on the safe side. So I say if you go out there and you leave the starting line, I count it as a pass. You know, I don't break it down to worrying about how many times did you warm the car up, how many times did you get out there, you know, and do this or do that. But if you go out there and you leave the starting line, and let's say it blows the tires off, I count it myself. Now, I've got to do that so a guy will say, I counted all those runs that Chris had put 70 on it. I'm at 70 now. I'm just going to go out one more time. We build in a little bit of, you know, margin there, a little safety margin, but not a lot. You know, we try to give you some accurate information for your best interest, you know, because for us, I'm not trying to sound like a jerk, but we got plenty to do. I'm not trying to talk you into bringing your motor back just to get more money out of you. It's to save you to go out and enjoy when you go to the racetrack, save you money, represent yourself well, and represent us well just also, because, you know, our best advertising is guys going out there running good and not tearing up parts. That's going to gain us more business than trying to get a guy to bring his engine back 10 runs sooner than normal. So we're really, you know, myself or any of the other, you know, quality engine builders out there, they're just giving you good advice to save you some money. They're not trying to dig in your pocket. So to answer your question point blank, I'd say if you take the tree, leave the start line, count it as a pass.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That's not where I count it. That's how I count it. If I let go of the trans brake, launch the car, that's a pass. If I just go out there and do a burnout and get backed out because it started sprinkling or whatever, that's not – I don't count that personally.
I would, yeah. That would be what I would advise.
What?
Chris, we've got 70 runs. You've mentioned, right, and we've been talking 70 runs on a motor like mine,
mm-hmm,
being, you know, right just over 700 inches. There's a lot of guys that don't have motors that big, and there's plenty of guys that have motors a lot bigger. But, you know, there's a lot of guys with 632s, 622s, 598s, stuff like that. What about those kinds of engines?
100 runs. Four and three-quarter stroke and shorter, 100 runs. The reason I reference the stroke length is because the piston speed goes up. When you get longer and longer in stroke, everything's got to move faster to go a longer distance in the same amount of time. So it starts moving faster. That's what we call piston speed. It's not really directly relevant to RPM. So if you have an engine that has a 5-inch stroke, it's got to go and swing 5 inches of stroke length in the same duration of time that, let's say, a 302 with a 3-inch stroke has got to do it. So the 3-inch stroke engine's got to do it much slower, so it changes direction at TDC much slower, and it's not as hard on the connecting rod. Plus, these engines, as they increase in size, the bob weight, which is a combination of the rod, the wrist pin, the ring, the piston, the weight of all that assembly, goes up at the same time. So now you've got the toss weight of that whole assembly changing direction in a split second, going back the other way. So all those factors are what we, you know, include, as well as how much power it makes, as in shortening the expectation of lifespan of these parts. Now, our customers that run the 5.3.4 space, nitrous motors, and a ProMod application, we run those about 35 runs. Because they're getting hit over the head every run with four systems, running them as much timing as they possibly can put in them, putting water injection in on top of it, and it's just hard on parts. So that's the threshold number we found to where you can almost guarantee yourself not to have a failure problem. And then after that, you're kind of on borrowed time. So at those style of engines, that number even goes down to shorter. But a guy with a 632, maybe he runs Outlaw 632, he'll run his engine, you know, 100 runs, which generally for most guys is the entire year, bring it back in the winter, put rods in it, and, you know, rings, bearings, gaskets, hone it, valve job, set of valve springs, and he's back out there for another 100 runs without any failures.
Well, you brought up one thing is valve springs. What about valve spring maintenance?
Well, you've bought valve springs from me. You bought a valve spring tester and a changer. So you've caught on to it that one way to prevent yourself from slowing down, which is a problem, dropping a valve, which is a bigger problem, is maintenance your valve train stuff. So we sell and companies make, you know, testers that you can just pull the valve cover up, pull on the rocker arm with the tester, and check the spring pressure. And we can give you some high and low parameters of where you want to maintain that spring pressure, you know, and then from there keep yourself out of trouble. You know, some guys will find a weak spring and just change one, and other guys will find a weak spring and change all of them just while they're there to get it done. You know, so we'll give you a high and a low range, and as they start to fall off, you know, replace them, and, you know, keep yourself from dropping a valve or having even just as simple as the performance fall off.
Agreed. What we do, just for everyone out there, what I do with my program is between, and I like to say every run, and when there's time between runs, I do it every run. At a grudge race event, we may shake the car down and have to go, you know, have a locked-in race right after it. So obviously, we don't even pull the valve covers on that after that shakedown run. But typically, we'll pull the plugs, all eight plugs, leak it down, check the valve springs, run through the valves, check the valve springs, and we're looking for relative numbers, like Chris said earlier, with your leak down. If your motor leaks down 35% on pretty, you know, 35, 38, 40, and that's consistent for you, then that's okay. When you see that 40% jump to, or 38% jump to 60, you know something's happening. We do the same thing with valve springs, is we'll watch, and I'll write down, you ever look at my valve covers or my intake manifold, there's always Sharpie markers all over them. And, you know, we're writing down valve spring pressures at every run, and we're writing down leak down numbers every run. And I'll just watch for a difference in them. And if I see something jump, I know I've got an issue, and I address that issue. So that's definitely something. It's a relative number. You know, so your tester doesn't have to be exactly accurate as long as it's relative to the last time you checked it.
Yeah, and just watch for a trend. You know, if you see, hey, I go 20 runs and then I've lost 50 pounds of pressure, you can, you know when you're going to have to do some of that stuff and when you're not. And the more aggressive we make these camshafts, the more frequent these numbers get to be, you know, the more critical it also gets to be. So, yeah, I mean, to me, coming from this as my profession and one of my passions, it's something that you can't do too often as the maintenance. That's why you see the professional teams doing it every run.
I just got a question text in. They want to know if you have a 565, a 598, and mm-hmm. you just basically want to have a mild tune-up on it, per se, you know, 200 shot of nitrous. How would you maintain something like that as far as, I believe this guy, individual here, he grudge race with a particular motor. I mean, mm-hmm. how would you go about doing all that you said that you mean, because the information you guys are giving is a lot of information, and it sounds like, you know, you have to be on top of these motors a lot. Should they basically buy what you would call a bracket motor and then put nitrous on it and go from there, or just, you know, go ahead and go full extreme? I mean, what would you do in a case like that?
Even a 565, we do a purpose-built combination for it, you know, for a nitrous engine. Put rings in them that are specific to the application, you know, a camshaft that's specific to the application, and try to get as much out of them as we can. You know, that being said, of a smaller engine, not as powerful of an engine, you know, your maintenance interval will go down as far as pressure. But I don't think you can over-maintenance it as far as checking things. It'll just, you know, if you can catch a problem before it really becomes a major issue or actually have a failure. I had a customer the other day with a turbo engine. He called me and said, hey, I got like 50,000 valve lash on number 8 exhaust. I said, the lift here's starting to go bad. You know, because he had already explained to me, he checked the tip, he checked the adjuster, everything was fine on the push rod. And I said, well, the lifter's starting to go bad. Pull the manifold off, pull the lifters out, wash all the oil out of them and roll them around your hand. He called me back. What? He says, this wheel's loose. So we replaced a set of lifters in it, put it back together, and he's back out running with no additional error that needed to be done because he caught it, because he was in there checking and verifying that all this stuff was, you know, up to task. So that's what I'm saying. You can do some stuff that doesn't cost you any money. You just have to invest a little time into it and save yourself the repair cost. You know, so to answer your question, the guy with a 565, you know, if he pulls the valve covers off in his garage at home before he goes to the track every time, checks over the valve, does a little bit of maintenance stuff, he's going to save himself a lot of grief in the long run rather than just coming home from the race, leave the car in the trailer, and, you know, forget about it until the next time he races it. And then, you know, suddenly he's got a problem. He's got to decide, am I going to race it or am I not? And then you have this repair bill that follows suit. So...
Let me just tell you this. That's a good example, Chris, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but with my experience, had that guy not caught that, the end result would have been a few runs later, and no one can say exactly how many runs, it would have put metal in the motor, it would have ate up the camshaft, it could have possibly sucked some metal up and gone through the bearings. And it, now he's
lock
now it does lock up the oil pump's possibility, but
yeah,
now
absolutely.
He's paying for a complete freshen up at best.
Or rebuild.
At best,
yeah.
He's paying a complete rebuild. But if he just got lucky and caught it and his oil pressure started to drop, he's putting bearings in the motor, he's doing machine work, he's going through the entire motor now, and it's out of the car and getting rebuilt. For the exact same thing that he caught maybe two runs earlier by checking it. And saved himself a heck of a lot of money. And then
right.
You hear about things like that, hey, I just got my motor back from, you know, my engine builder, and five runs later, the motor's blown up. Well, if you don't, you know, one thing we do with my motors, we'll change lifters, we'll rebuild lifters every time. And that's just me me and you being probably a little overboard sometimes. I don't know if it is overboard, but just something we do. But, you know, you can have something like that. If you don't change lifters or rebuild lifters every freshen up, it could have been, that could happen 15 runs after you got your motor back and you didn't check it. And the first thing you say is, I just had my motor done by this engine builder 15 runs ago, and look, he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, parts fail. They're moving parts. And that lifter could have been perfectly fine 15 runs ago.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, it could be a situation like we do with our dry sump engines. We pull them out of the trailer at the beginning of the day. We'll prime the oil pump with a drill before we fire them up. That way, everything in the top end of the engine gets lubricated, and it's as simple as pulling the belts off, spinning it with a drill, and putting the belt back on. Well, that prevents so much galling with the push rods, the rockers, it loops the valve springs. It's just one of those simple things, costs no money, takes 5 minutes of your time, and prevents a lot of issues with dry starts or valve train or galling of pushrod tips, because you could very easily just fire it up dry, go burn up a pushrod tip, gain lash, and then break the lifter. I mean, that's as simple as it goes. And with grudge racing on one of our main topics, that could cost you the engine repair and the bet. So, I mean, to me, in grudge racing versus class racing, it's not less important. It may even be more important to do these things to save your money, save your reputation, and save your engine parts.
That's true. With that being said, I'm going to throw this is a question that I have. What do you feel, I mean, is a good time and lapse time I'm using to really do all of the necessary maintenance that you're referring to? I mean, buying the proper tools in order to check your valve lash and your valve springs, you know what I mean, checking your lifters. What do you feel a good lapse time is to basically start doing it? Because really, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm used to building a motor and getting 300 passes out of it. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've converted to grudge.
Are you speaking of a heads-up application or like a bracket race kind of scenario?
I'm heads-up. I'm speaking of like maybe the 530 class. I'm used to running, you know what I mean, at least 250 passes at the end of the season, freshening it up.
Mm-hmm.
But with grudge racing, you're not on a mild tune up. You hope you bought enough tune up. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
well, that also is a situation where you're talking about putting 200 to 300 runs on something's also a steel rod engine, other things like that, a little bit milder combination. So you know, so all those things are factors. But for the majority of the stuff that we have out there, you know, set on kill, ready to, you know, run for some money, you know, we've made them as often as we can. ET isn't really a factor to me. You know, I'm into racing. You know, it was my hobby before. It was my profession. So getting out in the garage and tinkering around with a race car, you know, stuff that's real easy and simple to do. And in the back of your head, you know you're saving yourself some money. I mean, it's a no-brainer at any level.
I would say at a minimum, it is a benefit to anybody grudge racing. If they've got a performance engine and they're putting nitrous through it to check the things we're talking about in the garage before or after every event. And you may find, you know, you get good at it. It doesn't take long. You do it a few times. You're just like anything else. If you do the same thing a few different times, you're going to get really fast at, you know, what tools you need. You can run through it fairly quick. I think you're putting nitrous through the motor. You know, and you're running it hard. And when I say hard, you're competitively racing it. I think at a minimum, before you go to the racetrack every time.
Yeah.
You know, you may not want to be one of those guys that take the valve covers off at the racetrack, but you know,
at least you know you're going there ready to run. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Breadman, Jimmy, I'm going to have to drop off for a little bit and take care of a few things here in the shop, and I'll try to jump back on here in about a half an hour.
Good deal.
Do your thing.
Thank you, Chris.
Nice.
No problem. We'll be back and we'll talk some more.
All right. With that being said, Jim, we're going to step to the going to go to the grudge racing this weekend. I think those guys are definitely on and waiting. If y'all have any questions for Mr. Marino, press 1 to ask any questions, what might have went on this weekend or what have you. We are now going to open up the lines for that. And also, I would like for Nephew and Stone to please call in so that we can congratulate you accordingly on your win you have over Ballin this weekend. You have to press 1 so I can see your number. Press 1 if you'd like to speak. Other than that, Jimmy, I was trying to put an elapsed time on it for the guys that are listening out there. You know, there may be some guys running, you know, nitrous combinations that perhaps are in the, you know, low 50s. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I've got some cars that are in the, you know, I've got some cars I mess with that are small block cars in the lower 50s that we check that stuff. I don't pull the valve covers off of the racetrack on those cars, but I definitely check them before I head to the racetrack every time. Personally, I do it after the day after I leave the racetrack because I'd hate to find something the day I'm going out there or my mouth gets going and someone wants to do something, even, you know, just local, and I say, let's do it, and then I check the motor, you know, that day, I get ready to head to the racetrack and find something. So I usually do it, you know, the day after, a couple days after I get home.
Right.
But even, you know, if you want to put an ET on it, if you go 5 anything or faster, it's something you should start checking. You know, if you've got a 650 index car or something like that, something that runs 650s, you probably, unless you're leaning, if you're leaning on real hard, you need to do it, even if you're going in the sixes. But if you're not really leaning on it, yeah, you can lay off that a little bit, in my opinion. But if you go 5 anything, then it's, you don't have to be going faster, killing your stuff for parts to wear. So it's definitely something to look at.
I think that's the concept that a lot of us have. A mild tune-up to the average person that, you know, that normally don't grudge race all the time. You know, a mild tune-up, you should be able to get wear and tear out of it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of us don't really have, I would say, a process that we might do. You know what I mean? You figure me. I'm going to just use me as an example. I normally take my car to ADP to get it serviced here in Georgia. And in doing that, I look at what he might do. He does most of the stuff that you're talking about. And if I'm at a track, you know what I mean, you know, grudge racing or more so class racing, I'm a shootout guy. I like to shoot out. So,
yeah,
you know, it, with me, you know what I mean, to drive and then come back and tear everything down, and you know what I mean, to me, I'm like, wow, that's overwhelming. And at the end of the day, you can barely drive home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. So in doing that, you know, without him, it's hard for me to do that. And I'm wondering, that's why I was trying to ask the questions that, you know, most of the callers that are on the line, they are, you know, grudge racers / shootout guys. I'm sure that, you know, perhaps they might have learned something. But, you know, ultimately, we like the big tire racing. And in big tire racing, you have a crew. How many people work in your crew, Jimmy?
Is always, I got to have 2 people with me. At a grudge race, that's pretty much what we bring, is myself and 2 people. I'll have other people there, but 2 people with responsibilities to the car, and they know those responsibilities. We start going class racing and that kind of stuff where we're making more runs in a day.
Right.
I'll have 4 plus myself instead of 2 plus myself. And that really comes down to, you know, it comes down to turnaround time and you're making, you know, 5 runs in a day versus a shakedown and a grudge race. And at that point, if something else gets locked in, you make that other run, but you've got data already for that track that day, and you run that, so you may make 3 runs in a day. Making more than that at a grudge race is not that common unless you're in a shootout.
Right.
So, you know, that's the difference there, which also brings me to, it is relative to the same reason why, you know, people say class racers, you know, class cars are faster than grudge cars and all that. Well, one of the biggest differences is the same people will pretty much tell you, why would you run your car 5 times a day or have to run 8 runs to win so much money when you can do it in a grudge race and do it in 1 or 2, shake down in a grudge race? So it comes down to the same thing. You know, take anybody out there and, you know, I'll bring, you know, guys like Big Ball Factor who won this weekend, and I think I've heard him, you know, post something about that. Give him 5 attempts at the racetrack in time to find his tune-up, to make his tune-up better for the conditions of that track that day. His the more runs he takes at the racetrack, the faster he's going to go on that given track that given day. You know, put him out there in a grudge race situation where he's going to make two runs in a day. You know, he's still fast, but his third run will probably, he'll learn stuff on his second run that he can go faster on his third. So that's kind of the biggest difference there. And you start making those runs, you need more people.
Right. Right. So you make it sound as if, I mean, in grudge racing, do you think it's better to catch someone coming off the trailer, or would you like to give them a test hit or two? How do you look at that?
It depends on your program and who you're racing. I think that's, you know, you go to someone's home track, you don't want to run them off the trailer. You get somebody to go to a track that you know and they don't, then, yeah, you want to get them off the trailer. But that's all stipulating somebody out. That's the grudge game. When you have the slower car, get them off the trailer. They can't put everything to it. They got to be a little conservative. If you've got the faster car, you want to shake your car down. I prefer, you know, typically with my car and the cars I was racing, you know, when I was running my car a lot, I prefer to get them early, to always try to race them during the day in the heat. And off the trailer is fine by me because I know my car. I know how it reacts. And I have one of the smaller motors of the cars, probably the smallest motor of the cars that we were racing at the time. So I need to not give them let them gain as much information as they can. I need to keep them from gaining that information for me to stay competitive with them. That's why I always like to get them in the heat of the day and before the sun goes down. You know, every car's going to work better. I don't care what you got. Every car's going to work better on that cooler, more run-in racetrack. So you got to run somebody that you know is faster than you, and you're taking, you know, what I call a true grudge racer, willing to take a shot at something, not looking for the gimme race, and you've gotta not, you know, play into their game.
Right.
So we always took a shot. We knew we didn't have the faster car almost every time, but we were willing to take a shot. So we had to take every advantage away from them we could, and give them a cool run in racetrack would be just too much of an advantage, and we'd be putting ourselves too far behind the eight ball.
Right. Me personally, I look at that a lot. I listen at how grudge race is set up, and, you know, I hear that a lot. You know, let's go off the trailer. But a lot of times, you know what I mean, you find that people really don't like to do that because, for one, you know, when I look at the tools you need now in grudge racing, it's just unreal. I mean, I'm going to just throw it out there. If you don't have a race pack now on your car or some type of laptop hookup, you know, you can get tried all day off the trailer. I'm just keeping it real.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the growth of traction control in this game is huge. You know, with the growth of traction control, I think you see people wanting to race off the trailer. The true traction control devices that are out there that are available to anybody who's willing to spend the money on them, they sell them to everybody, you know, and there's nothing against running them. There's no rule against it. This is grudge racing. And even, you know, you go to ADRL, it's completely legal to run them. With that stuff, you can run somebody off the trailer, and a traction control device will not make your car faster, but it'll save that bad run is what it's going to do. So if you go spend the money on a Davis box, you're going to go down the racetrack on that off the trailer. Now, will you go your best number you ever ran? No. But if you've got it and they don't and the conditions are bad, you just bought yourself a win when you do that. So, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Well,
so, you know, technology's technology. Like you said, the laptop, the race pack, all that stuff, and then it's a step further when you step into trash control devices and how many different ones there are out there and how different, there's a lot of different, when you get into the real technical, how they operate internally, that gets real technical, but, you know, that's what sets the ones apart from other ones and the high-dollar ones apart from the little less expensive ones, but I don't think any of them are cheap, so that's why you don't see a lot of people with them, but there's more out there than you know about. I guarantee that.
That sounds good.
There's some races out there that you wonder how they are so consistent, and you're like, man, there's some bad MFers, and man, they just go down the track every time. Well, step back and watch them, and you can watch a car go down the racetrack on a bad day, and you can figure out who's got it and who doesn't.
That being said, we're going to go into opening up these mics here. I got somebody's hand up. Let me throw them in and see what the deal is. Welcome to the Bread Man Show.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to agree with y'all about the traffic control, but I want to disagree, too. I think when it comes to grudge raising and coming off the trailer, if you got a car that's consistent and you know your car, and you know you got your baseline tune-up to go A to B, slick track, good track, or whatever, that makes you a more dangerous man than a lot of these grudge cars. I think that's why a lot of these guys that run the class stuff is jumping over into the grudge stuff. Because the grudge cars, you was going to get a lot of passes on them. Because a guy that do a lot of class racing, he's not guaranteed to go A to B.
That's right. That traction control device is a safety net. It's you know, like you said, you can you know your game and you know your tune-ups and you know your car. You know, you can be just as dangerous without it. How many people really have had their combinations the same for long enough to really know them? You know, that's the other story, and if you have and you do know yours, you can be just as dangerous, if not more. Like I said, track control will never make you faster. Knowing your combination will make you faster. So you're actually more dangerous, like you said, if you know what you've got and how to race your stuff. You're more dangerous than the guy with the traction control device. But put yourselves on an equal playing field. Two cars that have been together for, you know, 2-3 months, you've made 20 passes down the racetrack, both of you, and one guy's got it and one guy doesn't. You both show up to a track that's green, you know, who's got the advantage at that point? And that's all I'm saying there.
Caller, do you have any other questions, sir?
Hello?
Yes, you're here. You're still live. Do you have any other questions?
I was just making that comment because I know we've done a lot of racing, and before all the technology got like it was, we was off the trailer where we live from.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like all the guys that jumping over in the grudge racing that been doing the class racing, they might not be as fast, but they probably a lot more consistent.
Agreed.
Right. I agree with that.
Agreed. And that comes with making passes down the racetrack. Like you started to say there is the class racers, and I said it a little bit ago, the class racers will go show up to a race and they make a lot more passes in a day. And, you know, especially small tire guys with this X275 racing that's been going on for a while, those guys have so many races. They race a lot. And then on top of that, they make more passes in a day and they test a lot. You know, nothing beats passes down the racetrack for consistency.
Well, caller, thank you for calling in. You are the first official caller on the Bread Man Show. We will be sending you a consolation Waffle House dinner, sir. You can get anything on the milk menu that you like, sir, courtesy of the Bread Man one time. So,
no problem,
brother. And text your address in and we'll send you a Waffle House card out, sir, as soon as possible. Thank you, sir. Hold the line. You're going back
Yes, Mr. Marino, back with you. Hey, all our callers, if you'd like to speak to the host or the co-host, Jimmy Marino, you can press 1 and you will be able to speak to us. With that being said, we got to run a commercial right quick. And when we come back off commercial, we open up all the lines and we can talk grudge talk. Let me get up here for this commercial here. Y'all excuse me. Here we go. Going commercial.
Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
And we're back live. This weekend, I got to put it out there, this weekend was excellent in Valdosta. I thought the guys were going to come on that were up north. I was trying to get them to basically come on and speak on what the scenario was. Hold on a minute. We got a caller calling in with his hand up. Let me get to him, Jimmy. You're live on the Bread Man One Time Show. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Brad, man? This is Mandra, a.k.a. Shut Up and Race. Brad, I'm glad you got a show, Brad. Going pretty good. I got a question for Marino. What do you prefer? Just asking now, a plate or a fogger?
Fogger for sure. There is, and the reason I prefer a fogger is, It all comes back, and Chris, when he comes on, can go into this a little more detail. He knows, he understands a little bit how I do, but it all has to do with the intake manifold. And although you try and try to make the intake manifold flow equally into the cylinder head and out consistently between all cylinders, the signal is actually different. And we actually rely a lot on, when we're doing a setup tune-up, just getting a car going, getting a tune-up together, a baseline tune-up. We do a lot of individual cylinder timing and individual cylinder jetting on them. If we run 2, 3, 4 systems on one, we'll clean up the tune-up with one system, meaning jet. We may have a 2-jet spread on one cylinder and an 8-jet spread on another cylinder because that's what that motor and intake manifold needs. Because your signal, how you're pulling fuel through when the intake manifold changes. I run some small tire plate stuff, and you're really limited to tuning, you're setting your tune up to your worst cylinder to keep it alive. And you really don't have the ability to take advantage of just patching that cylinder, when I say patching, keeping that cylinder happy and getting more aggressive with the rest of your tune-up. So that would be the reason I really suggest a fogger. Now, if you're a guy who really doesn't go to that extreme to really lean on your stuff and get your tune-up that precise, a plate is, it's just as good. It's distributing. It's just you can't. You can't take that next step with it.
Right. I've been having problems. I got a small block 4, and I've been having problems with that number 4 cylinder being too rich. So, but I mean, my mechanic, he's been telling me for the longest that I'm hard headed, got smoke, and another guy has been telling me the same thing. So, buying me a speed tech fogger. So, I'm hoping that the car probably run faster because I've been running it with that cylinder a whole lot rich, and I burn it up. A time like that too. That same cylinder.
Yeah. That goes into something I was going to bring up with Chris is it comes back to pulling spark plugs and checking your stuff. We'll run cars that have one fogger and a plate. Well, the plate's great because I can clean up the tune up with the fogger. So it's just like having, I can run it just like two foggers. I just need that ability to clean up each cylinder and get each one happy. With that being said, you talking about your number 4 cylinder, I can tell you one thing. I've burnt
of all the cars I touch, including my own, over the years, I think I've melted two pistons in my life. I have hurt quite a few pistons being rich. And I talked to some guys who do a lot of racing, do more racing than I do, spend more money than I do, and know a lot more than I do. And you talk to them and you find out the same thing. It's a trend. And people say lean is mean. And, you know, don't run it too lean, you'll burn it up. Well, if you talk to people who are really out there doing it, most of them will tell you they've burned up more parts being too rich than they ever have being too lean. Timing, too much ignition timing and too much fuel are the things that are the most deadliest things. Lean, you can get away with a lot being lean. It's the timing and the too much fuel. And the reason too much fuel is a problem is when you're running that rich, fuel will actually get past the first ring, and when it fires, it'll fire between the top ring and the middle ring. And when it does that, it lifts the ring lamps. So I've seen that more than I'd like to, and I run my stuff a lot leaner nowadays than I used to back in the day when I thought, just add a little more fuel, it'll be safe. It's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm going through now, Foggy. So, like I said, I've been running it. I'm hoping it speed up just by going through the Foggy and then put a progression on it. So, that'll be okay, I think. Like I said, we're going 3:30, take the plugs and everything else, like we need to.
Yep. That's it. Every plug will look different. They should. They're gonna. There's no perfection internally of any motor. The only guys that are as close to as you can get are them NHRA Pro Stock guys and guys like that that are just, but there isn't one of us out there in the grudge game that spends the kind of money on R&D inside the engine is those NHRA Pro Stock guys. And that's where, you know, you see them doing what they can do with such a small cubic inch motor, has to do a clutch and all that, but they spend so much time getting their intake manifolds and cylinder head porting to be precisely the same. That's what makes them fast.
I just want to make sure I'm going taking a step in the right direction because I got to whoop the host of the show. I got to race him, so I got to beat him down at track one day.
Well, that's good. Yeah, no, definitely a fogger if you're going to use it. It's a tool. It's like any other tool. If you don't use it or don't know what to do with it, it's useless. But if you, you know, just like race pack, there's some guys out there with race pack on their cars and they don't know how to use it, and it's great they spent the money on it, but what good does it do if they don't know what to do with it? What if they don't know what they're looking at? And that's the bottom line. At that point, you know, there's guys like me and plenty other, you know, like me who enjoy teaching people how to use their stuff from what I've learned through the years. You can always get a tuner to come in, somebody you trust, to come in and help you get your baseline set, but not just set your baseline for you, but teach you what to look for and what you're looking at so that you can race yourself. And that's what I do with most of my customers is I don't want to go to every race with them. I don't want them to not be able to race without me. I want to teach them what they're looking for so that they only need to call me when they're having an issue or struggling, and I can help them out.
That sounds great. Well, listen, Mandrill, we're going to leave your mic open, and I finally have gotten the guy who won the race down in Valdosta, nephew, on the line. Let me get over there to him if I can get him in here. Hold on 1 second, guys. I'm going to get him live.
Okay, I appreciate that advice.
No problem.
What's up, Breadman? What's up?
Hold on one time. Hold on. Let me get you in here. Hold on. This is for Nephew and Stone Cold Racing.
I appreciate that, Brad, man.
What's up, my man, nephew?
What's up? What's up with you? Everything good?
Nothing. I'm good. I'm proud of you. You did good this weekend.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we had a good time down there with Smoke and Ball, you know. It's good guys to race with, you know, we have fun with them. Laugh and joke, you know, everything is all good.
Yeah.
Wait, man, I thought you were going to be there this week. You mixed up.
No, I stayed in the shop and did a little work trying to get a little stock suspension car finished up, and I didn't head up. I thought about it. I was actually in a ride-up with T5 but didn't make it. So I think you were playing a little under your cuff the other day when we were on the phone. I think me, you, Smoke, and a couple other people were on the phone, and you said something about you felt like you were the underdog, but I don't think you really felt that way. Is that true?
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
You were keeping a little bit to yourself?
No, I mean, you know, not knowing time, you know, you never know who are underdogs or who the favorites. All this is just a guessing game, going out there and taking a chance.
That's it. You never win if you don't take a chance. So
exactly.
I learned that a long time ago.
All I got to say is
I think you just stepped yourself up to that you deserve a shot with Dolomite.
Well, he was there, and I thought I was, you know, but I think he had a little issue. I think he broke something in the input shaft or transmission or something Dolomite broke. But he was there. He was acting. He was acting like he was going to engage, so, you know.
Well, I think you deserve a shot now. At least at a date coming up, maybe that race at House of Hooker, or you guys got going on. That's coming up, not too far away.
All right. Yeah.
I want to say, nephew, your whole crew stepped up, man. I look forward to a lot more big tie action behind this race right here, man. I think that race right there was going to bring the big tire boys back in action. Not that, you know what I mean, we haven't, you know, been seeing a little big tire, but I think that, you know, racing in general, wherever there's a dry track and a good weather, I think that it's going to be great, you know what I mean, to see you guys get back out and engaging. I do want to shoot one time out to Dolomite. He did show up. Dolomite did let that button out, and he shot up out of there. And, boy, I hope that he get his car repaired, and maybe we can see him make a full 8-mile pass. Dolomite.
Oh, yeah.
Just put it out there for you.
I want to give my tuna a shout out. You know, it couldn't happen without him and Stone Cold, you know.
Who is your tuner, sir?
Man, without neither one of them.
Who is your tuner?
Mike Hill, Uncle Mike.
There you go, Mike Hill. One time to you. Yes.
I'll be on mute if you need me. Just I'll let me.
Okey-doke. I thought I had to. Contender on.
I got a question. No disrespect to Mike, but why did I get a round of applause when I came
in? Well, Mandrell, you know, did you engage?
We'll talk about that later, Brett.
Hold up. Today, I want everybody listen. This is Mandrell. Shut up and race. The one that be doing them videos, shut up and race videos, those stock suspension, street car shootouts. This is who you talking to. Mandrell, shut up and race one time for you.
I
got a track on the phone. Bobby Wild Child, Billy Go Wild Child. Welcome to the Bread Man One Time Show.
Why'd you take that button away from me, Bread Man?
started to get mad at me, texting me, Jimmy. I'm like, God Almighty, I didn't want to leave nobody out. You know what I mean? I'm trying to learn.
There you go.
Bobby Wildchild, your mic is live and open. Jimmy Carr is down right now. Jimmy Top Sportsman Carr is down right now. Bobby, you can talk.
What you mean? Hey, Bobby, I heard that, but I didn't say it.
I applaud
you. Yeah, I hear.
Coming on, and you don't even want to come off mute and say hello.
Who? Hey, welcome to your Brett, man. Glad you got a show. Seems like you're doing an excellent job. I'm going back on mute. I ain't got nothing else to say.
I like fighting words. I like.
Hey, Bobby, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Are you going to make that top sportsman shootout that Dolomite's got going together up in Macon?
No, I won't be there.
You will not be there. All right, I was looking forward to seeing you up there. I heard you got that car running pretty good. Look forward to seeing it.
I was listening to you about pistons. You talking about you ain't burned number two in your lifetime. I burned up more than that in one day.
No, I've pinched rings and been fat, too rich, and I've replaced a heck of a lot of them. But burn holes in pistons, never. Two of them. And I like to keep it that way because – like Chris said earlier, when you go burning holes in pistons, you end up replacing sleeves and everything else, and that's no fun.
Got that right. Yeah. I know how that feels. Not going to lie.
Well, since you asked, I can't see answer me tech question. So I mean, you know, my motor ain't big as anyway. Somebody said I'll leave that alone. Anyway,
hold that thought, Bobby, for one second. I got to let the contender in here. Smoke from Bali Racing, FLA, Florida. You are live on the Bread Man One Time Show.
Bobby, I ain't crying, Bobby, but y'all need to stop whining.
Now, can I ask my question?
We keep whining. I'm like a bunch of little queers.
Go ahead, Bobby. Go ahead and ask you a question, Bobby. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask the man how much nitrogen do he recommend to put on the 632?
That's a tough one.
Bobby, I can answer that. That's all I got.
Hey, I didn't want you to answer because I'm going to be whooping your ass with it anyway. Let the man answer the question.
Honestly, it really comes down to reading plugs and seeing what the motor likes. Every motor is different, and your engine builder has a lot to do with that. Camshaft has a lot to do with that. Compression ratio, it's not a straightforward answer. Weight of the car has something to do with that too. On average, and I'll use an example, we had y'all know the red 68 Camaro that we had the 632 in at one time. I know, Smoke, you know which one that is. The McAmis car. We ran going back in my memory bank, a 32 nitrous jet, and a 34 nitrous jet. Three systems on that one. And that was about all I'd throw at it. That was a purpose-built nitrous engine with the right ring, you know, the ring package that I'd like to run and all that kind of stuff, what Chris puts together. And, you know, two 32 jet foggers and a 34 jet fogger, and that's about all we would throw at it. Beyond that, we'd start hurting it. Does that answer your question, Bobby?
Not really. Kind of, but I don't know shit about. I don't know about so about So I'm still asking again about how much horsepower was there.
Oh, how much horsepower? You know, I don't ever use horsepower to relate to jet size. If you look at you know, SpeedTech's chart to NOS's chart or any of those different charts, you know, the same jet on different charts tells you it's different horsepowers. But if I had to guess, I'd say the 32 jets are about 225, 250. So there'd be, say it's 250, 500, and the 34 jets say 275 to 300. So, you know, say 800 horse.
We got Chris on the line. Range. Jimmy, Chris is on the line. Maybe you'll be able to handle that question. Chris, you're back
live. Bobby Childs was just asking me how much horsepower, how much nitrous to put on. You can put on a 632. And after I skated around the whole thing of your engine builder and what parts are in it and camshaft and compression ratio, after throwing that disclaimer out there, that it all is, you know, all that has a factor in that. I told him on Craig's old 632, we ran two 32 jet foggers and a 34, I believe, is where we ended up at the most we put on that thing. He asked, what horsepower does that add up to? I don't know what a 32 equals horsepower wise or a 34.
Yeah, when we break it down, we really look at pounds per hour, how much it'll flow, and then, you know, kind of factor how much we can move through, you know, a particular engine. Something that has a real weak exhaust port has its own limitations beyond, you know, the cubic inch or the nitrous system or whatever. So, you know, that's a moving, you know, target as far as that, to answer that question. But those numbers Jimmy was just shooting out on that engine, that's a whole lot. You know, usually we'll have something in, you know, about, if you were to total up all the numbers on the, you know, the nitrous side, you'd be 85 to 90 numbers. You know, that's kind of just a generalization that I'll use. So let's say we had 230 jets and a 25, there's your 85 numbers, you know. Somewhere in that range would be, you know, typical. You know, sometimes we'll run one and we'll have a 32, a 28, and a 36 or something like that. And, you know, that's, like you said, that 800 horsepower number, that's a lot if it's built, you know, for that. You know, that's what they can take.
Yeah. Now, mind you,
you got some top sportsman engine that you buy from, a normally aspirated engine, throw some nitrous on top of it. Obviously, you can't do that. But if you got something with a good exhaust lobe on the camshaft and moderate compression and things like that, then, yeah, that's where you'd be at if you're purpose-built, you know, with, you know, tool steel ring and things of that nature. So, yeah, you got you going in the right direction, but that's kind of where we're going.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't suggest running that much jet to anyone else. I was answering the question about what we did. I damn sure wouldn't suggest that. We were beating the crap out of that engine as hard as we could because we had a car that would take it, truly take it. When we did that, you know, back then, and the combinations, it doesn't matter anymore because we didn't have the combination anymore, but I think we had all that on at 8/10, maybe 7.
Yeah.
No, I think it was 7/10. All
so
three of those, we didn't run at 7/10.
So what y'all saying, five or six on the horses ain't too much for one day, that's what you're saying?
No, absolutely. That's right in their wheelhouse.
Okay.
That's two moderate systems. They need to be able to take that all day long.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it's going to take to run fast, you know. I mean, you got to be able to make it live with that kind of nitrous to it to run the number, you know. I mean, you put that 632 with, you know, 500 or 600 horsepower of nitrous to it, if you want to talk horsepower numbers, put in a 3,000-pound car and you ought to be able to go 460.
Yeah, Bobby, you know, kind of a car Cavalier, Grand Am, or Grand Prix, or something. What is it, Bobby?
GTO.
GTO.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
I just did a retrofit on the engine for a guy up north. He's in Virginia, and he just went 415. He's got it in one of Jake's old Cavaliers, and he just went 415 with it on two systems with a power glide and a 632. So I mean, they do have capabilities of running real well. You know, in the right car, the right combination, a sorted out torque converter, and, you know, good working piece.
One thing I'd like to point out, that when you say that, this is the one thing that everyone's got to keep in mind. And I don't know the car or any, you know, Chris and I have never talked about that deal, but my guess is that 415 didn't come on a grudge track, meaning a grudge prep.
No, it wasn't.
And that's where you hear those numbers and you say, that guy goes 415, he's got the same stuff I know, doing, I go 430.
No, this is a guy going sub-106.
There's a whole different world out there.
Yep. Yeah, he's going sub-1, flat 60 foot, going bottom 270s at 330. So, I mean, you really got to be on good surface to where you can get it turned on and get that thing rocking and rolling. You know, go to an average track on a test and tune kind of night, that same car goes mid to upper 20s. You know, you go to a ELMPU race or something like that where the track's really prepped well and, you know, you can turn it on and get that thing running early.
That's really it. And Bobby, the tracks that we're talking about, not that they're bad, you know, they're relatively good, you know, whether you go to Albany, South Georgia, or anything like that. It's still not
the
equipment used. It's not prepped in the same manner. You know, great tracks, but there's still the prep and how tight it is and how far out it's tight is totally different than any of the tracks we ever race on in the grudge game.
Well, the beauty of it, though, is it is an equalizer, you know, so you can take a car that, you know, is a 30 car and run that same car that, you know, is a teen car and a good track, and he may not go down and, you know, you turn on the wind light and collect a check. So it's an excellent equalizer as well. So, yeah, that's not everywhere across the board. That's, you know, that's pretty good air, you know, in April and, you know, on a good prep racetrack. But, yeah, you know, the potential is there to get into the teens. You know, like a lot of guys in the Renegade Series or Big Dog stuff, you know, they'll run 632 and they can run those kind of numbers.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Y'all answer my question there. I just, like I said, I'm learning more and more about if I'm going to get into this nitrous stuff with it. I'm not, that's something I'm not too much into the grudging, but I know I got to come out here and whoop Stone Cold ass. I'm going to have to tighten up a little bit. That's all I need to know.
Okay, Bobby, that's all I want to hear from you.
I will be seeing you, baby.
Hold on a minute. We got to pay some bills right quick. If y'all don't mind holding a minute before we go into the grudge, we got to pay. This is our last promo of the day. And once we pay this here, we can go live. Smack Talk. Hold the line, please.
Grudge Inc. is taking over social networking. To get live, in-depth coverage on current races, follow us on Twitter at Grudge Inc. To view the most up-to-date and exclusive footage, subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/GrudgeInc. To get an overview of it all, friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/GrudgeInc. And last but not least, we have a weekly newsletter that we will send out directly to your email every Monday. Sign up for this newsletter at www.grudging.us. Once again, watch videos at youtube.com/grudgingtv. Follow us on Twitter at Grudge Inc. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/grudgeinc. Grudge Inc. wants to be your number one stop for all grudge racing news and entertainment.
I didn't hardly talk to her. How's all this thing for 11?
We're back live. Thank you for holding for that commercial break. We got to pay the bills around here. Lord knows I need them to pay. So we air this great news we have. Now we're back. We got folks, Smoke, your line is wide open. I want to say that y'all showed up. Y'all tried to show out. And, you know, hey, we all went down. You know, you being family and everything, I really wanted you to win. And nephew and them being great close friends of mine, I told the grudge world that I had to stand in the middle on that. And, you know, y'all did what y'all did, and we both partied afterwards. I mean, that's what we do as grudge racers. Smoke, what do you have to say about that race?
It's a good race. Let's be the world, you know, when I get a pick, I'll be back.
Seven
no more, they can't hide. They can't hide.
Whoa.
I got one thing I want to point out with these guys. Both of the cars that ran this weekend, one thing needs to be pointed out to the rest of the guys. These guys are out there racing month in, month out. They're not talking about racing. They're actually out there racing. So win, lose, or draw, give them a good, big heads up, good job on getting out there and trying something. You can't ever win a race if you don't race nobody. So I like to, you know, those guys will be back and they'll be, you know, a little bit tougher than this time.
That's it. Definitely something to be said about that. So, Smoke.
Yo.
When's the next time you all plan on being out and who you going after? You trying to run back Stone Cold or you got other plans?
Well, no, I ain't got no other plans. I actually got to be on the phone with Nelson later on, but I heard something in the motor, so.
Not a problem, though. Taken care of.
Yeah. Once I figure that out, we'll see. I don't know how much damage he's done, so.
All right.
I can't count the chickens yet.
Hey,
no, Smoke.
Can't
overcome.
Yeah. Hey, Smoke. Hold on. We got another caller to come on the line. Welcome to the morning show. How may I help you? Hello.
You know who the hell is here, Brad, man. It's acting like you don't know my name.
Hey, you know this is a new form, man. Come on, man. Yeah.
You go here trying to be political.
Hey, Mike became a basketball player, too. Hey,
Mike, man, let me get you a proper introduction, man. Hold on a minute. I got to hit my button.
I already heard your introduction. I heard your introduction. Good. Hold on. Hey, Brad, man, you got Miss Kim on. Miss Kim in South Georgia. Miss Kim in South Georgia.
No, man, I wish I did, man. See, the only thing bad, if she call in, I don't know how to call out on the show yet. You know what I mean? This is my first, and
anybody,
I don't want
to. Anybody on your show?
I can try to get a mic. I don't know.
Well, just Smoke, when you talk to her, tell her nephew to bring a tree back to her next time we come.
Oh, you got it. Hey,
oh,
hey, Smoke.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're down for a little bit, there's this little red 68 Camaro sitting here that somebody called out at one time.
Hey,
that's looking for a driver.
Problem.
If you want to borrow it, they don't want to.
Jimmy, you went and told on yourself already, baby. We don't even check you out. You didn't told too much. You done said my gamer's car. That's scratch. That's a scratch.
Hey, listen, it's the same.
All this nitrous you being able to load on, we got to scratch you out, Jimmy. Stay on in your
he
lane.
Ain't got that combination no more.
Hey, Mike. We got more problems in the camp down here, so I can't start leaving the long ride here now.
You trying to win, Smoke?
You're going to have some more problems over here. You think you're the nervous. Friday night I had the nervous. I should have went ahead and did it then.
Smoke, we were never nervous. I told you that was gonna be over with at the start line.
Nah. You came and told me. You told me something came out. I didn't find nothing.
Nephew, did he apologize to you yet for talking all that trash about who's going to leave first?
Oh.
Smoke.
Nephew's down there with cramps. I told the man to get some water.
Hey, Smoke, that might be why he let go of that bunch so fast. Leg was up the camera.
They said that was scared life, right?
I don't want to be scared more often than.
It ain't over, Mike. It ain't over.
Smoke. We'll give y'all some get back when you're ready.
Yeah, it won't be long.
But we won't. We need to get Dolomite transmission.
Yeah, that's the first issue at hand. Though. I'm agreeing with that one.
But we can't sit around and wait because he might not come now. So we have to move forward.
Yeah.
So is that the next race y'all looking for, nephew?
Well, they got the belt issue, you know what I'm saying?
That was the first race we were looking for.
Yeah, you just had a little pit stop on the way or what?
I wasn't a little
bit. Oh, yeah, we got us a little reserve. We figured Smoke give us a little reserve, a few money.
There you go. There you go.
Hey, but I ain't gonna lie. Hey, Smoke, I ain't gonna lie. Now, that damn Dolomite sounded good over there.
Well, it sounded good.
Dolomite might kick his. I don't know. I gotta go look on his hood. He might kick his own stuff out the goddamn Promar shootout. What I heard.
Yeah, here you go. Will y'all please stop that? Got a man on his side about motorcycles already.
Whoa. See, I just say it sound good, folks. It didn't sound good, man.
Everybody sound good. Got them big low cow them. Shit, what the difference?
He might have one of them good 632 with damn busted compression.
What, the flasher then?
I don't see that.
Yo, Charles, killing the making. Bobby said he's ready to do something.
Well,
Bobby is?
Yeah, Bobby said he's ready to engage. Now he won't nephew now. Good God Almighty.
Breadman, please stop that shit, man. You know damn well.
Bobby said it, man. Bobby on the phone.
Yeah. I'll just tell you what he's saying. What he said, he on him. I can't believe he
ain't
said nothing.
Well, Mike, it's after 12:30, so it is comedy hour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where y'all going from here, Mike? Y'all just
going to
wait
on the
shootout or what?
We going to see what Dolomite, please. See what time the Smoke got. See if he can get back. We might have to tell him to see what WD Keen and see what them boys WD Keen and want to do. Who else on our list, man? WD Keen.
I got a lot of background. Can't
get that good. Who's the rat? That ain't going to happen.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you.
Dude.
Mike Hill.
Yep.
Hey, we showed up to House of Hook a few weeks ago to try to run that 5-inch bore space race we talked about. You had your race going on, I think, the same day at Huntsville. That got rained out. And one of the things that Jeff brought up that maybe, and just maybe, that race can get rerun or set up to run the same time you do your Pro Mod shootout. Has that been discussed any further?
No. When it was came to me, it was actually mentioned to be run during the. He did mention it to me, but I thought he mentioned during the November 2nd grudge deal.
Okay, and maybe I'm now, confused. You know,
but I mean, I just, man, I don't know if it'll mix with the two. You know what I mean? Because I mean.
Well, and this is what I was thinking, whether it be with the grudge deal or with the Pro Mod deal, you know, really in your Pro Mod deal, I don't think a 5-inch motor can, you know, can realistically compete for the win. You know, anything can happen on race day, but I just thought it was that 484 bore space and the 5-inch bore space, you know, two separate classes, run what you brung. I thought it was a great concept. I was just wondering if it's something you thought about bringing into some of your promotional stuff.
How many cars showed up?
None. I mean, it was very few, but the weather was bad. And I think the promotional side of it, for the experience that the guys that were putting it together had, I think that, you know, there was a little lack of promoting experience there. Someone like you, I think, could blow it up, in my opinion. I think there's plenty of people out there that get on a level playing field. You know, I'll go out and run some 5-2 stuff against some 5-2 stuff and take a shot every once in a while, but to at least be able in my car to go out and run, you know I'm running some 5-inch motors, people will sit on a pretty level playing field with me. I'd jump on that in a second. I'm sure there's other people that would too.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, something I ain't never researched, and it'd probably take a lot of seeing how many is out there that's willing to, you know, that's actually willing to come do it. You know, I mean, to get involved with something like that, I'd be wanting to know I got 16 calls at least that's willing to come out there and put on that show, you know.
Well, we got a couple we'd be interested in.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just wondering if you thought about it at all, and if that was brought up, and what the thought is there.
Yeah, he definitely mentioned it to me, but I thought he said November 2nd, and I just kind of I didn't really want to mix those two up. I mean, I kind of understand like some of the class races, and you know, some of the class races are a lot more family orientated, and some of them don't like mixing with the girl singles. So
yeah.
So I would stay away from some of that.
Understood. All right, I figured I'd throw that out there. We're looking to get the silver car back out and do something with it, get some races and do some stuff. And I like the shootout style. At least it keeps you going in between.
Oh, yeah, more definitely. Long smoke one of the motors over there so we can knock him off again.
Mike, one time's a charm, man. Don't think you're going to come that easy every time, man.
Hell no, I'm going to get that damn herb and get that nightmare ready. We're going to try it. We ready for them, too. Try them, too. Fuck it.
Talking off the bad,
Smokey's talking to you.
He's trying to talk off the bad. I don't think he's that bad, man.
Well, we're going to try them early, though. We ain't trying to let them get all dialed in, man. We ain't trying to catch them on the early scene.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, we forgot about Walter, man.
Man, Walter, man, might not come after you would smoke like that.
Yeah,
Walter, man, might not come. But we can see. But we just put out Mr. Anybody want to log in for August 31st, Union at Mario Race, which would be top sports on the back half that's in our class. We know we'll be there. We're waiting. The Dolomite, y'all got the 24th deal situated?
When is it? August 31st, end of the month?
August 31st at Union.
I have bad memories of that place.
We're trying to get Big Sexy to get the back tire. We can't go out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd do something, but we ain't going to have nothing ready. Nothing goes.
Yeah, they say you got a Beretta. They say you got a Beretta with an iron 632 in it.
Yeah, that's what we're it's starting to go together. The guy hasn't set the motor in it yet. It's a friend of mine. So it's not. We're trying to get it together for that. That whole deal came about when I was told I couldn't race that top sportsman race. So you know how it is when someone tells you you're not allowed to do something. Now you got to do it. So we're putting that car's going together solely for that purpose. It's not my car or my motor, but I was helping the guy. So I got him putting it all together. I'm going to help him finish it, and we're going to show up and race that is the plan. If it runs good when it sees the racetrack, then we'll come out and play around. But for now, it ain't even together. There ain't even motor ain't even in the car yet.
Okay, Brad, man, can we need to get maybe we need to get Dolomite on and see what's going on with this August 24th thing anyway.
If they call in, but listen, we got 8 minutes left before the show cancels out, but we're going to get everybody in. I want to have final thoughts with everybody, so don't nobody hang up. But right now, we do have one of the other guys that won Saturday night. We got Chick on the phone. Chicken, welcome to the Bread Man One Time Show.
Hey, what's going on, Bread? All right. How you doing, Bread? What's going on, fella?
Congratulations on your win you had Saturday night, man. Look forward to. Well, I'm glad to see you back in a car for one.
I got Dolomite on the phone.
Okay, dope. Hold the mic, Dolomite. Hold it. I'm going to get to you. We're talking to Chick right now. Chick, we're just glad to see you back in a car and back doing what we love to see you're about to do at the drag strip. What do you have to say, Chick? Hello? Chick?
Hold on. I lost my phone for a second. Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here. I'm happy to be back in the car. I ain't been in a while. Feel pretty good. Shoot. I love drag racing, so I was happy to be back in one myself.
Okay, dope. Well, we're glad to see you back, Chick. We look forward to you continuing to give the fans and racers all the hell you can give them. With that being said, we got the one and only, the champ, holding the belt, Dolomite on Dolomite. Welcome to the Bread Man One Time Show. How are you this morning, sir? Smoke, what he don't want to say nothing, Smoke?
Dolomite, he don't ran it off.
Man. Hold on a minute. Hello? Is Mike here?
Yeah, Dolomite.
Yeah, I'm here.
Is Mike here?
Oh, here you go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, well, Mike, you might have to hang up or anything, man. I don't know if you want to say anything with you on the phone, Mike. Dolomite,
yeah. He's my road dog. I bet up. But got ATB out on them, though.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, Mike? How you doing, man? We got you on the Bread Man One Time Show. Welcome. And I just want to say, though, Mike, boy, you look like you're going to lay a number down.
Yeah, she was about to go, but that transmission would not hold. But that's all right. We're getting a fix squared away on that, so... But hopefully we won't have a transmission issue past this point. So, but transmission just could not hold. So I got to do what I got to do and put one in the hole, and I should be all right.
Okay. Well, Dolomite, what do you think that, you know, are you going to be over in, where's your next race going to be, and when are you going to, that way I can tell all the callers when the top sportsman belt is actually going to be ran for. When do you think you're going to do that, sir?
Well, we're supposed to run for it on the 24th. That's when we all agreed that we were going to do it. We're trying to throw a event in Macon, but it's right now we got some details that we got to iron out because of the date and everything that's going on with that particular date right now. So we got some stuff that we got to iron out, and once we iron that out, then we're going to be there. But as far as up 29, then it's just going to be. Getting it right, but I'm sure that if that date doesn't, we can't get everything squared away on that date, that me, Stone Cold, and Mike and everybody, we get together and see if we can get it to work right on a different date. But that's what's going on right now.
Okay. So does that mean Stone Cold getting the first shot at it?
Yeah, Stone Cold gets the first shot. That's what I want to. And
Dolomite, you know Mario got a race the following weekend now.
On the 31st, yeah. Well, put it this way, if we don't do it on the 24th, then we need to do it on the 31st. You know?
Okay.
I ain't got no
No problem at all with that. I promised a man a shot, and I ain't fixing to run and keep dodging these daggone tapes. If a date is open and it's a race that we can get into, then let's just do it on that date and call it a day. Because I plan on keeping my belt.
Well, hey, with that being said, fellas, I want everybody that got their mics lit up now. We got 3.5 minutes left before the show ends.
Hey, well, let me say this right quick while we got 3 minutes. Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead, sir.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate my man Stone Cold and Nephew doing the driving. Nephew did a hell of a job. He did his job. The car did his job. And then hats off to him, man, and Mike Hill tuning. The car looked real good. Glad to see that they both made a good trip. And Smoke did his thing, man. Congratulations to Smoke. I just want to throw that out. I mean, congratulations. Congratulations to Nephew and Stone Cold, man. They did their thing. And Smoke, you're at the back of the bus. Just like that TV show, you back down to number 10, Danny. Get off.
Man, you is a farm truck.
Keep
my boy
Smoke all the way back down to number 10, man.
You is the farm truck.
Well, hold on. Let me go down the
list. Your fastest pass is your fastest
pass. Give everybody a chance for final call, fellas. Give everybody a chance. Hold on a minute. Shorty, man. Shorty, go ahead with final call. Final call, Shorty, very quick. Shorty. Go on to the next one. Mandrill, go ahead with your final thoughts.
Ray, I think you got a good show, Brad, to be honest with you. It only going to get bigger. It's your first, you know, show. A lot of people might not know about it because, you know, it kind of like short notice. But I'm going to do what I got to do to try to promote it and get it out there, too, because I think it's a good thing. People get on here and learn a lot of stuff that they don't know about.
Thank you, Mandrill. And thank you for listening, sir. Go on to the next one.
Yeah. No, he ain't got anything.
No, he
ain't
got
anything.
Smoke, go ahead with final thoughts, Smoke.
Man, it was a good show. Maybe next time will be better, Brad. That's all we got to do, keep improving. Everything going to go up, man. We keep having a good show.
Thank you, Smoke. Thank you for listening. Mike Hill, final thoughts.
Good show today, Brad, man. I didn't get on the late, but good show from what I heard. And we're gonna check out every morning. And man, it look like you've been pumping the weight. Where you been hanging out at? You been hanging your rope, dog.
Come on, man. Don't do it like that, man. I gotta get ready. Gotta get ready to let that button go. You know how it is.
All right.
Well, thank you for listening, Mike. Go on to mute. Caller, I open your mic. You got a final thought statement you'd like to make. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but welcome to the Bread Man Morning Show.
What's up, Bread? Good show, man.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
After this, we'll get to the real show, Bread Man. After this, we'll get to the real show.
Have a good one. Caller, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. You're on the Bread Man one time. Go ahead. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I'll just let you know, Brad. I was listening in, man. Good show. Good show, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm going to the next one. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling. Bread Man one time show. Final thoughts. Make it quick. Good
show. Appreciate you for the shout out, Brad. I've been at work all day. I listened to your show, so with Aunt Bone Ray on the phone. All right, then.
All right, thank you, Chief. Bobby Wildchild, got down to you. Go ahead. Bobby Wildchild. I guess I'm going to go to the next one. Nephew, we got down to you. Nephew.
What's up, Brad, man? Good show, good show. Had a good weekend. Appreciate Smoke for the action. And, on to the next one.
All right, then. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Jimmy, we back up to you, Jimmy. Me and you, we got 30 seconds. Jimmy, let's do something.
I think it was a good first show, and I think we can grow from here. And a lot of positive input, you know, from different people will help. And and we keep moving forward. Thank you for having me on.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you for being on. Going to move. Hey, I want to thank all the callers. I want to ask that, you know, when y'all call in, y'all definitely press 1 to get in. I would love to hear y'all input. I appreciate y'all for supporting Grudge Inc. Incorporated, Breadman, One Time Show. We look forward to seeing you next Monday at 11 a.m. This is the Breadman. Y'all hold it together. God bless. I'm out.